Steve and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Friday Land Academy Show. I'm Steve and Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill LeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Scottsdale, Arizona.
Today, Jill and I talk about how to fund deals as the funder and what you should look for in the bank role.
All right.
We're reversing the talk this week.
How to fund deals, what you should look for if you're the bank. Okay, got it.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free. And if you're already a member, join us on Discord for sure. Cool.
Seba wrote, and I've got some comments, it looks like, too.
These are two really nice compliments about how these two new members found us why they made a decision to join.
Aww.
It's not really a question.
Okay, good. This is cool. Seba wrote, it's nice to meet you all. I was trying to look up on Google how to use Google Maps and search for properties by APN, and I ended up here. After reading a few posts, I decided to create an account because you guys seem to have pretty interesting discussions here. I'm a real estate development professional with a decade of experience in a corporate setting. I've sourced multiple deals and processed entitlements for many projects. I'm currently helping a few clients with financial modeling, market research, and zoning research on a consulting basis. Some of my clients are not in the area where I'm located, so I think I may be able to find some good, useful info about how doing deals in various municipalities work in this forum. Feel free to ask me any question you might have. Thanks. How sweet is that?
You're in the right place.
I'm gonna use you guys for information for me, and I'm happy to share what I know. And that's our
Land
community.
Academy member, yeah.
That's awesome. Araceli wrote, I hope I'm saying your names correctly. Thank you. Hello. So I'm just starting my late in life dream of buying, investing, and owning land. I found Land Academy on Instagram and I've already learned so much. I was about to start my coursework and get my real estate license. I know you don't need to have a license to buy and sell land, but for me, it's about gaining new knowledge. The coursework is a small investment for me to understand best practices, terminology, contracts, etc.
So there's one more paragraph, but I'm going to jump in here and say that Jill and I have both been through the coursework portion of getting a real estate license with no intention of taking the test, just to learn very specific states, specific real estate laws and rules. And I think it's cheap. It's like when I went through, it was like $400 or $500, and it's intense. Mm-hmm. There's a huge legal component
to it.
It's like
60 hours.
I learned a lot
here in Arizona. And
it's really worth it.
Uh-huh. Back to the question. He said, my dream is to buy small parcels of land that have minimal deed restrictions to build and rent out or sell small custom modern cabins for city dwellers. I live in Philadelphia, and I'm fortunate to be a short drive to wooded land. Personally, all this started with my desire to have a few acres where I could have a small off-grid cabin and get away and let my dog run around freely. I guess I can have both, huh? Anyway, I'm excited to continue learning and hearing from all of you.
Aww. All of this started because I had a desire to have a small cabin on a small piece of property 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, everybody. Today's topic, how to fund deals and what you should look for if you're the bank. This is the meat of the show. If you have a ton of money, this is what I'm finding in general. There's not the exceptions, but in general, you either have a bunch of money and absolutely no interest in ever sending a mailer out, or you don't have a lot of money, but you love the aspect of bird dogging deals, sending out blind offer campaigns like the rest of us, and making some bank. And so we all need each other. There's a few exceptions. Lori Phillips comes to mind because for whatever reason, she wants to do both, and she's very good at it. And Jill and I do both. Mm-hmm. We do our own deals, and we...
There's a lot of members that are testing and doing both.
Yeah. Oh, are there?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
More than you realize.
So I'll tell you, if you have both sides of your brain working at the same time, I think Jill and I do, or maybe one side of mine is and one side of hers is, so it's one brain.
That's perfect,
doing both is a perfect situation. But if you're the bank, you know, I mean, what do you, if you, you do a lot of deals, so what's your thought process? What's your advice to somebody who has never funded a deal?
Okay.
But they want to do it.
I would set boundaries. Seriously. No, I'm not kidding. Set it up right. Let the person know what you're willing to do and not willing to do. You think I'm kidding? I'm totally not kidding. Because you don't want to go into this and have the person overuse you and or underuse you.
Is that what's going on here with you and I?
Yeah, I'm overused.
Do you have to set boundaries?
Yes, I do. Holy cow. I am crappy at setting boundaries with you. I need to get better at it. Just kidding.
Here's a sentence that Jill said to me yesterday. I have a girlfriend coming over later. Can you put these guns away, please?
I did.
Did I overstep my boundaries?
Oh, my jeez. Who has to say that? You know, I don't really want to alert somebody when they walk in our home, but what's that in the corner? Jeez.
It's a tiny little pellet gun.
I know, but it doesn't. Out of the corner of your eye, it's a little scary.
Me and my teenage son has no power at all.
Jeez. Yeah.
And we have fun in the backyard, like in a little campfire sometimes. That's all it is. It's not like,
I understand.
You know, a 20-gauge shotgun. Because yes. I could put a 20-gauge shotgun here if you'd like.
Again, out of the corner of your eye, you don't need to see something there. If it's a squirt gun, fine. But anything other than that, no. Okay, so.
So set some boundaries.
Yeah, so if I'm thinking about doing this, well, number one.
Don't get overused.
Well, I want to, first of all, I would sit down and have a discussion with myself. How much money am I willing to do? What kind of deals do I want to do? Do I have a location-specific thing that I want to do? And these are all things that we put on. We did a questionnaire with all the Land Academy members. We do it every January now, where we send it out to as a mass email, like, you got money, you want to partner, put down here your contact information, how much money you're willing to do per deal, how much money you have in total, so we have an idea how many we can throw at you. Are you on a scale of 1 to 10? How much hand-holding are you willing to give? And, you know, things like that. So have that conversation with yourself. Because the last thing you want to do is be tied down all day long looking at other people's deals and taking away from your own deals and your own stuff. I want this to be, if you're looking at funding other people's deals, I hope it's just an extension of your business. It's money that's sitting there that you could put to work and having somebody else do it for you. That's the point here. And some of it for me is just setting boundaries, like, and letting everybody know, hey, here's a deal. I found your deal on Land Tank. This is exactly the area I've been working with anyway. This looks fantastic. I'm willing to fund it, but I'm not going to do the work. I will give you the $50,000. What's your plan?
And then here's my real world advice. It's going to fall apart on some of them. So you need to have a contingency plan, whether it's an operations partner or you yourself are going to have to step in and say, this manager just didn't do what they made a lot of promises, didn't follow through. I can't get them on the phone. Fortunately, I own the property now. I'm going to have to get rid of it myself. And so you need to have a plan for that before you ever go down the path with a manager, unless you've done 50 deals with them already.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's another thing. Do one deal. Mm-hmm. Don't say we're going to do 10.
Yeah.
I would do one deal initially and have it all in writing like we do. You can download and reuse and mark up, use our contract. We don't care. So, and have it in writing, who's responsible for what, how it's going to go, exactly what the payout's going to be. So there's just no questions. And what's going to happen? What if you're the 100% the bank and they're the 100% the manager of the deal? So you put up all the money, so your name's on the deed, right? Have a timeline in there. If it doesn't sell, that you can take it back. Yeah. No questions asked. Like, look, I gave you 6 months. Something happened. I'm going to take it over now, and now the deal's all mine. So there, and that's a fair time, really fair amount of time.
When you go to get a mortgage, the bank says, this deal looks great. It passes your appraisals, passes our test. You have a rational credit score that passes our tests. And so everything looks good. We want you to put 20% down. Looks like you have that in your bank. So we want to do the deal at X percent. We don't do that. Right. And we don't suggest that you do that. But what we replace all those things with is your attitude, your experience at doing real estate deals. We don't ask for money down or skin in the game or any of that. But we do want to see if you have some experience in this very specific area with successful transactions completed. That's our 20% down. And so for that, were willing to, you know, forego looking at all that other stuff, like conventional banks or even conventional partners. Mm-hmm. But stuff goes sideways. Mm-hmm. You have to take, banks take property back. We've taken property back. It's I like to think that how we do this is very generous.
It is. I know it is.
And I don't, a funding partner, you know, I would like to you to have that sentiment too. Like, it's a mutual thing. It's not a one-way thing where, you know, the skin in the game translates for me into experience and attitude. You know, if I go online and I look at this, we're going to fund somebody and we Google them and we go online and they've got a website and they're into it with their spouse and they have a couple of dogs and they're online. You know, there's couples that we have that are in our advanced group. We're doing a deal with one of them right now where their online presence is so cool. Mm-hmm. It's just like a pleasure to do stuff with them. And so it's not some weirdo in some strange corner of the country that's holed up into some weird thing. And, you know, mm-hmm. that all that stuff really, really matters. Your online presence really matters. Mm-hmm. And if you have a little bit of gray hair like me, that can be really problem. And so
a problem?
Yeah.
Gray hair is a problem?
No, not the gray hair. Oh, just, age. If you're older like I am, sometimes being online is just, you know, not something that you do.
What are you going to do, put a stand-in in there or something? I'm confused. What do you suggest?
Make up for it in another way. Like, hey, I don't have a Facebook account, but I did 22 transactions last year in XYZ, small town of Indiana. This is just the next one, and I'm pretty sure that this guy's going to buy it. We just need the money.
Okay, I understand.
That's your 20% down.
I understand. Me, it's confidence and knowing your stuff. You know, not just, I love what you said about the presence and everything, that's important. But also just knowing this area, like, look, when someone comes to me and says, I've been working this area for a year now, and the momentum is getting out of control, and I know how this is going to go. I've done, you know, 32 deals like this. I am out of money, and I can't let this go.
It's the greatest situation for us ever.
Mm-hmm. I can't wire the money fast enough. Mm-hmm. I'm totally in.
Have you ever gone to, when somebody brings a deal in to you and you're like, yeah, I love this deal, but you need to shave $10,000 off the price and I'll fund it. Have you ever done stuff like that? And do they come back and say, yeah, it's shaved?
I do that all the time. That's funny you ask that. It happens all the time. You know, I've said, shoot, I see where you're going with this, but you know, I had one the other day. I'm like spending like $130,000 and selling for $200,000. I'm like, well, hold on a moment. Those deals that I'm selling for $200,000, I'm buying them for $50,000. I'm not buying it for $130,000. I see where you're going at it because we're going to split $60,000. That does look good. Slash, however, I'm not really loving it. What can you do with this? And that's really was my response. And I'm waiting to hear back. I'm like, and I said, if that doesn't work for you, please put it in land tank. I totally get it. And I'm, you know, someone else may jump on it. You know, there you go. But it's funny, I do that a lot. I usually have a lot of questions. You know, I'm here, you know, and where you as the bank, don't be afraid to be extra cautious with your money.
That's right.
Because they're doing the deal. They, not you, if you're doing it like I do. We're letting them really take charge. The photographs, you know, because you don't have time for that. That's the whole point here. Your money's working for you. You're not the one taking the photographs and picking the photographs and writing the posting and getting the drone guy or managing a broker if you have one. So don't be afraid to ask all those questions and be really picky. And the right manager gets it, and they're happy that you're doing it. And that's, you know, that's what they want too. They want that extra pair of eyes so everybody sleeps really well.
Very early in my career, long before I was in land, my job was to generate acquisition opportunities or candidates for people who owned or operated or were financing long-term care facilities like nursing homes or assisted living facilities. And they were emphatic about the fact that they had to do 4 acquisitions, let's say a year or whatever, because they were publicly traded. So there's all these mandates on growth, and it tragically ended in a fiery ball of disaster for everyone involved, except me, because I wasn't an owner. And so here's what happened. I would go out and like a crazy person, find acquisition opportunities. Most of them sucked. They knew it, I knew it, and they were buying them because they had to fulfill this criteria. I'm here to tell you, don't do anything like that. Jill and I had a finance partner for a while who's no longer in this group, and that was his attitude. He said, he had a lot of money, tons and tons of money. He's like, I've allocated this amount of money. I expect it to be placed and earning money, on a schedule. And he gave it to me. He's a super bright guy, super nice guy. And so, I refuse to do bad deals. I just to fulfill, mm-hmm. and that's what was happening. And right. so, and it wasn't very. In the end, we parted friends. He was. I still talk to the guy. He still wants to do things with us. But I just said, I'm not going to do acquisitions with a gun in my head.
Right. Exactly.
So that's not the kind of lender you want, acquisition person you want to be.
My last comment is, I love how this has grown, this whole deal funding thing. When we started Land Academy, we started the community. It used to be everybody would just kind of help each other with questions. You know, like someone helped you get over whatever hurdle at the 3-month mark, 6-month mark, 9-month mark, 12-month mark, whatever. And then you in turn, so many people like, you know what? Someone helped me. I'm going to pay it forward and help them. Mm-hmm. So now what's happening is the same thing with deal funding. It's kind of a natural progression. I see new members coming in like, okay, I got a round of money. I got funding here. I got funding there. This person helped me. Wow, it helped me grow my business that much faster. And that's kind of their next phase and their goals. Like, I hope I have, boy, the minute I have $100,000 in the bank, I'm going to start doing deals for other people too and helping pull them up. And it's the greatest thing and everybody's winning.
Jill and I's goal, and I say this from our souls, we want you to do better than we've ever done, you know, and it's like you want your children to do better than you've ever done, and it just makes us feel great. That's why we're here. So work with each other, generate however that it all, you become an investor or funder or manager or both, just do it at 100 miles an hour.
Excellent. I love it. Happy you could join us today. 5 days a week, you can find us right here on the Land Academy Show.
Join us next week for another interesting episode. It's a good week.
You're not alone in your real estate ambition.
Oh, is that not there?
That's okay.
It's a good week. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What is there?
It's okay. The script hasn't changed dramatically over the years.
And so, I wrote the script.
Yeah, I was just kind of wondering. That's okay. I got you, baby.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope you find our content valuable, and we do appreciate your support. If you haven't already, please zip on over to our YouTube channel, hit the subscribe button, and please comment on the shows that you love.
We are Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.